This is Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. So Jesus said, a certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You do not anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Therefore, she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Let me give you the last version of this scene. In Mark 14, three different times in this chapter 7 of Luke and in chapter 12 of John, Mark 14, three different times Mary's at his feet, washing his feet with her hair, anointing his feet with oil. This last one, she's anointing his head with oil. So now the feast of the Pharisees, feast of the Passover, the unleavened bread was 2 days off. This is Mark 14. The chief priests and scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume, of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, for what purpose has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money be given to the poor. And they were scolding her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And I truly, I say to you, that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. Jesus talked about Mary Magdalene, the fact that because she was forgiven much, she loved much. And if you read the story of her life and the little places throughout the Gospels where it mentions her, it's just amazing the wholeheartedness that she expresses, the extravagance of her devotion and wholeheartedness to the Lord. She didn't care what anybody thought about her. I mean, this is a woman who's encountering the love of God in the person of Christ for the first time as a prostitute in the house of Pharisees who didn't usually hang out with prostitutes. Or have a lot of, maybe they did, but they didn't let anybody know about it. They didn't have a lot of nice things to say about them publicly. They were so religious. She's standing behind him, weeping. And it says in chapter 8, I believe they're the same persons, that she was delivered in that moment from 7 demons. This is a woman who was a mess. Yet in the presence of Christ, she encountered the love of God that includes forgiveness and is so massive that it transformed her life. And she fulfilled what Jesus said. He says, who's been forgiven much loves much. And so she knew radically how much her life had been transformed in his presence, in light of his love for her. And so she has this radical thing that she expresses throughout the Gospels. Interesting, when you read about the resurrection, all four accounts of the Gospels of the resurrection mention women who went to the tomb. In the passage in Luke, it doesn't start off that way, but then a few verses down in Luke 24, it mentions the women. And every time in all the Gospels, all four of them, the first name that's mentioned in terms of persons at the tomb is Mary Magdalene. That's not a coincidence. Now, we know that in John chapter 20, she went in the dark by herself before anybody else did. But the other three Gospels includes one time and includes one woman, one includes three women, and one includes more than that. But every time, Mary Magdalene is mentioned first. Of course, she would be in John, since he's the only one who went in the dark. But the Holy Spirit never does anything in Scripture arbitrarily. It's not just by happenstance. It's like he's honoring her, that her name is mentioned first. That's a stunning reminder to me how much wholeheartedness moves the heart of God. Because he's wholehearted. He doesn't do anything half-heartedly. That's why he says in Revelation, I would rather you be cold towards me. Be cold or be hot, but don't be half-hearted. God's not someone, and his love is not something that anybody can be half-hearted towards. Either reject it as not real, or respond appropriately. And this passage in Mark 14, what he's saying about her is that once again, this is not just the first time they said this about her, the second time they did, that why this waste? She broke the alabaster vial of perfume. It was worth a year's wages for most people. And they go, why this waste? And anytime you waste something, you're just doing something to excess. And then Jesus congratulates her for her excessiveness towards him. And says, whatever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done, it will be spoken of. Because God's love for us is so excessive. God gave his only begotten son. He didn't pick one of 50, his only begotten son. He did something he couldn't afford to do. It was excessive. And because his love for us is so excessive, what he's looking for, what he's longing for, what he's thirsting for, is the same kind of excessive response back to him. That we'll waste our life on him. He wasted his life on us. And Mary Magdalene got it. And I believe that's why we see her name mentioned first and foremost in all the gospel accounts of the resurrection. And why we're told in Mark 16 that she was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to in the resurrection. I mean, just logically, you know, my first years in the Lord, and I read through the Gospels and things that I thought about. If I had not noticed that scripture in Mark 16, if you'd have said, well, who do you think Jesus revealed himself to first? I'd have thought, Mary, his mother, Peter, John, right? But it was Mary Magdalene, the former prostitute, who had been forgiven so much that she loved much. And I think part of the issue is you and I, and we're going to probably talk about Mary Magdalene and the resurrection for a few days. We don't really understand what forgiveness means. I think most of us think God's just not mad at us anymore. That's what it means to be forgiven. Because if we forgive somebody, it usually means I'm not mad at them anymore. That's not what the word forgiveness means at all. God was never our enemy. We were his enemy. He says he demonstrated his own love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He loved us even when we didn't know him. That's what propelled him to give his only son to love us so excessively. It says this one thing, and it actually says in Ephesians, but also in Colossians. Let me just read it to you about forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. It says, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in the Ephesians passage, it says in verse 7 of chapter 1, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. You can't separate the word redemption from forgiveness. Forgiveness means redemption. Forgiveness doesn't just mean I'm not mad at you anymore. It doesn't mean that at all. If you forgive a brother or sister, it doesn't mean that I've been in sin and been angry and bitter towards you, so I now forgive you, so I'm not in sin anymore. That's not what that means. God doesn't give us permission to be in sin until we decide to forgive somebody. Forgiveness, the word forgiveness literally means to put away. And when we tell somebody we forgive them, we say to them, I'm letting you off the hook. You don't owe me anything. I've taken the blow and I love you and we're putting it away. The word redemption means that something is overruled. There's restoration and the overruling of all the loss occasioned by sin. That's the whole story of Boaz and Ruth. Forgiveness means to put something away. Not, I'm not mad at you anymore. It's no longer on your record. I'm going to restore and overrule for good all the loss occasioned by sin. And you say, well, what if somebody commits murder and they're in prison for the rest of their life and they find Christ and their forgiveness? Does that mean they get out of jail? It may mean they never get out of jail. But I guarantee it'll mean that God will restore whatever his destiny was for them in now in that context. Are there consequences? Yes. But I've known of many people who've had profound ministries in prison and loved Jesus with all their heart. He restored and overruled for good all the loss in terms of their spiritual life, their moral life, who they were. They could know life and life more abundant in prison. To restore and overrule for good all the loss occasioned by sin. Can you imagine the loss that she had experienced as a prostitute? Emotionally, socially, relationally? And so she understood what it meant to be forgiven. Jesus was never mad at her. He said, your faith has done what? Made you whole. Forgiveness is about, I'll absorb the blow. I give you freedom to go be whole. It's put away. He talks about the fact that 2 Corinthians, that he doesn't count our sins against us. And yet we do count people's sins against us. And even though we tell them that we forgive them, how many times do we remember what they've done? That's put away. You have freedom to now go be whole. I'll suffer the loss occasioned by your sin. Now go be whole. That's Mary Magdalene. And I believe that's why she loved him so much. And he responded to her wholeheartedness by honoring her in Scripture in so many ways. First name mentioned at every resurrection account, and the first person Jesus revealed himself to in his resurrection. It kind of stokes the furnace of my heart that God can be moved. I mean, he didn't reveal himself first to everybody. I want to be the one that so stirs his heart that he responds to my wholeheartedness. My wholeheartedness is a response to his. And as there's like this great give and take, and I respond in wholeheartedness back to him, and there's just some things that I can move God's heart to do, or he's moved to do, that I don't want to miss out on. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.